right center. That ball is gone into Monument Park.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the 45th episode of the Monument Bark Podcast. The bark is back, and so are the New York Yankees. Yankees had some off time throughout the All-Star break. We'll pick up a three-game series against the Colorado Rockies on the road. The Yankees' last 10 games, 4-6, have not been what we've wanted them to be. They've been really disappointing on both sides of the baseball, mostly their defense. Timely hitting has not been there. This team has really fallen off recently. Still 7 games over 500, though, 49-42, 8 games back of the first place Tampa Bay Rays. There's a lot to talk about. You know, we haven't been on an episode in about over a month, and there are a lot of guys who, you know, coming into the season, we weren't too sure what to expect, and pretty much everybody has been disappointing. So we're here to break it all down. You know, trade deadline's coming up. We just had the MLB draft. Some coaching changes. It's going to be an action-packed episode, and I'm looking forward to talking to my friend Luke Perfacci. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Nobody was hitting, so we got a new hitting coach. Seems about kind of where this season has gone. I think the chicken parm thing kind of was his last straw of just not having any feel, which we can get into that a little later, but I think analytics are good in some instances, but can't paint the whole picture. So I'm hoping it can be better. I mean, it can't really be much worse. Everybody that's like an X factor has just been bad. And then our best player's out on the offensive side of the ball. Pitching's been great.
Yeah.
Which has honestly kept us in it. Like you said, 7 games over 500, but it feels like 7 games under 500. It feels like the only difference between us and like the Mets, the Padres, the Mariners, all the other underwhelming teams is the record. And it's disappointing because we've been playing really bad, but we're in a decent spot to kind of turn it around. We just need a lot of stuff to change.
Yeah, a lot has to break. Well, Luke and I talked about a week ago, and it was like coming into the season, like looking at it from that standpoint to today, everything went wrong. Like everything has gone wrong. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Even the guys that we thought could have been swing guys that, you know, come up, don't have too much expectations, but if they're good, it would really help. Oswaldo Cabrera hitting under 200, guy like that. So haven't really caught too many breaks throughout the season, which is encouraging because you know that that hot streak is going to come. You know that the Yankees are going to turn it on some eventually. We always kind of have this struggle with getting cold at the right time. Now we would like to get hot at the right time. And, you know, as the season moves on, get into September and then October, you want to be playing good baseball because the last few years we haven't been. So would love to see that change, but a lot has to change. Really want to highlight 5-6 guys right now. Gleyber Torres really just been underwhelming, I guess, just all around after his bit of a different start, you know, walking a lot more, striking out a lot less. And he's continued that. But I just think he's an all-around hitter. Like, last 30 games, 308 on base percentage, 394 slugging. Just underwhelming. Season-long OPS, 738. Last year's OPS, 761. It's just disappointing. And it's one of those guys where it's like you can't put all the blame on Gleyber, but you wish you had more from him. And then you're also starting to think, how can we upgrade on him? So
yeah, the defense has really been what's upset me this year. I think offensively we're getting kind of a little more consistent version of the guy we've seen the last couple of years, where it's mediocre, but the streaks were kind of unbearable. Now he's not as streaky, but hasn't hit his hot streak either. Not just avoiding slumps. He hasn't really hit a hot streak. He's just kind of been consistently mediocre. One good thing on him is he is hitting 300 with runners in scoring position, which is surprising because we haven't been scoring a lot of runs. So hopefully when the top of the lineup gets going and that continues, that could be a big swing for Gleyber in his season and outlook. But yeah, the defense. I mean, he was notoriously a good defensive second baseman. And as Aaron Boone did not know, he's leading the American League in second base errors. So can't get much worse than that, especially it's just a regression, really. It's not like this is always who he was. So I definitely think a good hot streak at the plate and then cleaning up the defense would be good for Gleyber, but I don't necessarily see that in the future, especially with him hitting at the top of the lineup with everyone struggling.
From what I'm looking at, his numbers, career low, .262 batting average on batted balls in play. His career average is .298. This year it's .262. Last year it was .295. So, you know, when he's putting the ball in play, it's pretty close to his actual batting average, which is .251. So bit of a more true hitter this year. Just as Luke said, you know, he might not be as streaky. He's kind of just been mediocre all the way through. And I guess like that's what I was asking for at the beginning of the season. Just go 1-for-4 every game. He's hitting .251. So that adds up. I don't know. I just feel like with a year left of team control, it's you gotta wonder like the future of this guy on the team, even right now. Who knows? Maybe the Yankees move him at the deadline. That's never out. That's not out of this world to think about. Like the Yankees were rumored to be trading him last year for Pablo Lopez. So to think that that's changed all of a sudden now, I don't think so. If it's the right deal, I think Gleyber does have value, especially to a team that is lacking a second baseman, is lacking a right-handed quote power bat. I think Gleyber could fit in very nicely on a smaller market team. And I also think he's just got value because he's got a year and however many games are left in the season. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you
think there's any shot he gets moved? Now is we don't need pitching as much as we did. I think if we needed a starter, it would be a lot more of a consideration, but I guess just overall team needs may not match up as well as they did last year, but you never know. The deadlines get crazy. We never. There's always at least one surprise move, and this year there's no locked in move. So I think we're looking at 2 to 3 surprise moves, and Gleyber could be one of them. It's not out of the realm.
You talk about the pitching, and with how bad Luis Severino has been, and with Nestor Cortes, the earliest he can really come back is in 3 weeks after being moved to the 60-day IL, which is retroactive, but you really have two big question marks behind Colin Rodon, two guys that you thought maybe at the beginning of the year were going to be your 3 and 4 straight through the season, straight through the postseason. But now both of them are questionable. So maybe you could move Gleyber for more of a, you know, slot him in number 3 starting pitcher. I don't know who it is. I don't know how much it's going to cost. But it's certainly a thought because I feel like the Yankees need to be a little more shorthanded behind Colin Rodon. And Rodon, who just made his first start of the season, like, who knows what the longevity looks like this season with him, how his body's going to hold up all the way through. I'm not concerned with that, but I just think with Severino and Cortes being so up and down this year, so questionable, you might try to move Gleyber for a better starting pitcher. So
yeah. Until the lineup gets going, I can't see them trading a bat, though.
We'll get into more of it later with Oswald Peraza and how he could impact a potential Torres trade and slotting him in at one of the infield positions. But
yeah,
like I talked about, Luis Severino, I mean, his numbers have been abysmal this season. Kind of got off to a hot start. After coming off the injury, had a couple nice starts there, but really 1-4, 7.38 ERA in 9 starts, 37 strikeouts, 42 2/3 innings, a 1.8 WHIP. Just terrible. And this is a guy that you really want to rely on because he's a guy that's been in New York for a while, has pitched in the postseason for the Yankees. And if he's this bad, you really have to question what they're going to do coming into the deadline. Because I think one of the things that people aren't really are kind of discounting is needing that for sure number three starting pitcher, especially when your number two has been out most of the season. So I don't know. Severino's just been so underwhelming.
I've been to two games where he's pitched. He's given up a combined one run.
Yep.
And in games I haven't been, he's given up over 30.
Yep.
He's done. Like, he, there's no really way for him to get back on track this year, honestly. Like, there's clearly something either mechanically or health just wrong. It's a contract year. They're not going to, like, they don't have a long-term plan for him like the Blue Jays may have with Manoa, where they send him down to the complex league, get him on a program. Like, he's out in 2 months. I think that's kind of widely expected. There's a better chance we re-sign Frankie Montas than Luis Severino at this point. Like, there's no chance. So I don't really know what else there is to do. They may try and stick him in the bullpen just to get some value and let Randy Vasquez go, let Brito go, with Clark and Domingo have already gotten consistent run in the rotation this year. But yeah, I don't really see a solution here. He's just been absolutely terrible.
So I'll pose this question to you. You're a guy who's not really big on Nestor Cortez, hasn't been big on him this season, and especially with this, whether we called it a phantom injury or not, has been out a while. Do you think that the Yankees could go out at the deadline and prioritize starting pitching?
Not with how they're hitting. I think Nestor at the three is a good enough kind of thought, especially with how Clark's like last 10 starts have gone, especially with how Domingo has looked at times. I think with how the state of the lineup, they can't really prioritize the starting. Because the lineup's also been the main not the main reason we've lost in the playoffs the last years, but kind of in a way it has been. And now we have two aces at the top. So I think when you have the two aces at the top, you can kind of put it on the back burner and just hope one of your three or four in-house guys can kind of figure it out. Maybe they trade for – I mean, they could trade for a starting pitcher. It just, I don't think it would be kind of the headliner move of the deadline.
No.
Another low.
And when I use the
very
term
realistic that they do trade for pitching help, but the lineup's got to be the priority.
When I use the term prioritize – I mean, I feel like it's at this point like a shoo-in that they're going to go after someone offensively and get another bat.
Got to be two.
It's got to be two, but at the same time, I think you could prioritize two things at once, especially with a team maybe like Chicago with Stroman and Bellinger. That's just throwing out a name out there. You know, having a trade where you can get a starting pitcher and a bat in the same deal and kill two birds with one stone. I think that could be a thing for the Yankees. I think they could go out and try to go get another starting pitcher, whether it's just an innings eater that they trust, or it's a guy like a Lucas Giolito, like a name like that, that they could bring over and actually have faith in at the number three spot. Because right now you can't trust Luis Severino. And I would like to trust Nestor Cortez. I do trust Nestor Cortez. I think his season kind of got off to a weird start and we kind of dissected and found what was wrong with him. I think after some rest, he'll change that and he'll be a much better pitcher for the Yankees as time goes on. But I also think that the Yankees could go and try to package up a bat and an arm and just try to get another guy in there, because really Clark Schmidt and Domingo Germán have been a flip of a coin this season. And it's, you're not going to really necessarily rely.
Neither in a playoff game.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I was thinking kind of – this is kind of a Madden simulator thing, but the Juan Soto stuff has swirled the last week on Twitter with the Padres being as bad as they are. And everybody's kind of hyper-focused on Juan Soto because he's the only one that can really be traded. But as we were talking about earlier, Blake Snell's in a contract year. And I think last year we traded for Montas – with the idea that we preferred to pay him over the guys in-house. And clearly that hasn't worked. And now Montas' deal is up and Severino's deal is up. So I could see us maybe trying to do a Blake Snell kind of like rental slash head start on some extension talks. I don't know. I mean, You have to. The Padres are such a mystery. There's really no way to predict what they're going to do because they have so much money invested in this core and window that it'd be hard to see them shelling out some of their top talent. But again, another option, like a rental pitcher, get 2 months, get some like a head start on some contract talks where you can't really trust Montas or Severino to pay. So I don't know. It doesn't even have to be Snell. Just kind of like that thought process of trying to handpick your next number three.
I think that would be the guy. I also don't know if that would be feasible in a package for Soto. I would obviously love that idea.
Oh, no, not with Soto. I was thinking instead. Like, okay. Because he's done after this year where I really don't think Soto gets dealt with the low contract he has even next year. I think they may give him more shot, but you never know.
It could. I also think that right now is and we'll just go into it later. I also think his value right now is kind of at an all-time high. They could get a whole lot. They could really just take down a team's farm system for him. Even with just the year left, they can justify the extra year. If it was just a rental, they can't do that. Now, if it's Ohtani, it's a different story. But like you're saying, like Blake Snell, a guy who in his last seven starts is a 0.64 ERA, 42 innings pitch. He's really pitching to his contract year. He's got a 2.85 ERA in the season. This is a guy who's got a 3.35 career ERA and a guy that we've seen pitch well in the postseason. So that would be the right guy. The Frankie Montas, who was pitching in Oakland and had, I think, one or two postseason starts under his belt. You didn't really have anything there, but I think, and it's crazy to me because Frankie Montas and Blake Snell, like last year, there was so much more hype behind maybe a Frankie Montas. Haven't really heard a whisper about Blake Snell. And I would take Blake Snell over Frankie Montas, whether it was last year or this year, any day of the week. So, you know, and the Padres were not out of contention. They bought at the deadline. So that was never a possibility last year. I just think this year alone, Blake Snell is that guy where it's like, okay, we can trust him at the number three spot and we don't have to worry about Severino or Cortez, you know, fizzling out at the end of the year.
This is such a hard deadline to speculate.
It's really.
This is such like a small possibility, but it makes sense. But it's just such a niche thing, and we haven't heard it. So you never – I truly have no idea what's going to happen other than I know we're going to get at least one bat. That's all I really, like, know.
Yeah.
Because we don't know even Judge's health. Like, they could – if Judge isn't right there, they may just pack it in and try to, like, you know, selectively sell or
get a head start on next season, get a head start on the future. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, with this team kind of being old, you could just say that this team is fairly old. You got two guys on the corner of your infield that are aging. You might want to get a head start on the future and add some things at the deadline if Judge isn't coming back, which would be a travesty because it's just yet another lost year for the New York Yankees. A guy that I think obviously his numbers fell off when Judge came out of the lineup. It's his buddy, Anthony Rizzo, guy who hasn't hit a home run since I want to say late May. I might be wrong saying that, but really like a sixth of his season is gone and he hadn't hit a home run. So just in terms of at bats, it's crazy to me because this is a guy that, while his batting average hasn't fallen apart completely, he's still hitting 257, which I believe leads the team, which is sickening. A guy that's really just not hitting well. He's hitting .175 over his last 30 games. No home runs. I don't really know what's going on with Rizzo. I don't know if he's still banged up from that play against the Padres in May. I don't know. I really have no idea, and I can't say that it helps when the best hitter in baseball is out of the lineup and you have no protection.
Yeah, I think it's like it's been a beautiful combination of just a disaster.
Yeah.
Since May. I mean, it's not like an excuse to blame the injury. It's just kind of a fact that ever since he got kicked by Tatis, he has not been anywhere close to the same player. And Judge has been out, and the hitting coach thing sounds like it's been a complete disaster. Like, like you said earlier, everything's really gone wrong, and there's still time to right the ship, but there's no real explanation for Rizzo. I'm not really ready to be like, yeah, this is, like, all age. It's clear like something's weird, but I don't know. I'm a lot more optimistic with Rizzo than LeMayu. He's another one that's like, I don't know what's even going on.
DJ, man. It's one of those things where it's like you come into the season the last 3 years. The first one, okay. The second one, okay. He's going to put together a better season than he did last year. He was injured. Then the second season happens and it's underwhelming, but there's still an injury in the
He
air. And
was
then,
solid before, though. That's what made us still confident in this year. Was before he got hurt
yeah.
last year, he was like decent.
Yep.
And
And he
then
started this year off pretty good. He did. And then, really, really, really a steep drop off after that. And guy's hitting 220. I mean, this is a guy that we thought could hit in his sleep. He did for, 195 games with the New York Yankees. And then all of a sudden, the batting or the on base percentage never took a hit. I mean, it was mid threes, which is a lot, but the slugging just took a fall off,
guy's a ju he's a ju he may be the biggest juice ball beneficiary or I don't know that we've had.
Beneficiary than
Yes.
that nobody talks about, like
Yeah,
that
because
nobody.
everyone was hitting bombs and DJ was hitting doubles. And you
Yeah,
know, but it shows in the numbers.
it
Just
does.
funny to
It
see
does.
how much that impacted the game with where our 2019 bomber squad is looking right now.
Yeah, I mean, just like Gleyber, career low in batting average on batted balls in play,
I think that
269.
may be the hitting coach because there was some Boone quotes where he was talking about, he's asked about different approach, stuff like that. We're swinging early in the count, not swinging late in the count. I believe this is the segment he does on the John Boy Media where they ask him questions and they were asking him something about that. And he didn't like dismiss it, but it's clear that it was kind of something that wasn't a Boone thing. It sounded kind of like a hitting coach type thing, and it was completely different this year than any other year. This is the only year that it was like this, and it's the worst year we've had by a mile. And now our hitting coach is fired in the middle of the season, something Cashman has never done in his 25 years. So I think that may be something that kind of turns back in the positive direction, just getting new blood in the clubhouse. But I mean, it's been so bad with the hitting that at this point, anything would
It's
be great.
been so bad with the hitting, yet there's still 7 games up. So if you start to see some improvement, you're going on a West Coast trip, you're playing the Rockies, I believe you're playing the Angels, can really wreak some havoc the next week. You have a tough month of August coming up, which is, you got a lot of big games against Tampa Bay and whatnot, good opponents. So you would
Yeah.
love to see kind of a swing because this is about the time when you could start the season, you could start to see your season, fall through your fingers, or you could put together 2 really good weeks and go into the trade deadline and be like, hey, look, these are our needs. We have to go address them because if we don't, then we're just going to fall flat on our face, maybe make the playoffs, but lose in the first round. We would love to just get in a position where we can understand what we need at the deadline and have an idea, have a plan in place because I don't like this fringe because right now we're kind of in that fringe, we're 7 games up, but we look terrible out there. And the playoffs, it's right there for us. But at the same time, it's like we're not going to beat the teams in front of us the way that we look right now. And obviously without Judge, you can't expect to win anything. So I think that obviously that plays a big role in just how the season plays out.
Stanton also hasn't hit his June hot streak yet because the season started in June. So we're still, hopefully that's August and he can kind of backpack us a little bit through that tough stretch. But yeah, I mean, he's not, he's just been finding his rhythm, which he does every year and hasn't been.
Had the 2-homer game against Chicago in the win. Really just the last game before the All-Star break was terrible. Seeing that kind of happen was up 4-1, got home runs back to back from Higgy and Volpe, and you can't lose that game. I don't care who's pitching, you can't lose that game. You have to do everything you can to go into the All-Star break kind of on a high note, considering this first half, get your 50th win right before the All-Star break. Falls through your hands, falls through your fingers, and it was embarrassing. There was an embarrassing loss on your home turf against a not so good Chicago Cup team.
Oh,
So
wow.
just like, you know, so, and then it's like, all right, well, a guy that was kind of terrible for a while there and has really, you know, picked it up recently, Anthony Volpe, last 15 games hitting 351, OBP of 351, slugging of 556. This is a guy that's getting on
As
base more.
advertised.
Yeah, exactly. He's getting on base more. He's looking kind of like more like the hitter that we saw at the beginning of the season, walking more, getting on base more. The steals aren't, you know, picking up as much, but the power has picked up a ton. He's
Yeah, he's
got
got that
26
sleepy
extra base
power.
hits.
He, I
What?
mean, he's got that sleepy power. The ball just pops off his bat.
Yeah, he does. And you know, I think it's gonna get to the point in the season where he's just gonna stay consistent. He's gonna figure it out. Hopefully he can end off at 235, 240, you know, pop 20 home runs and just be a guy that we can, you know, rely on in big spots, because that's all you can really ask for from, you know, your first year shortstop. And I got the guy caught a lot of slack at the beginning of the season. We said just like be patient, and I think it's worked out. I think he's going on the right path, unlike a lot of players on this team, and you just kind of have to carry that through going into the really second half of the season. So, and then as we've just alluded to a bunch of times, Sean Casey, our new hitting coach, former ball player, most known on the Cincinnati Reds. 1500 hits, a guy that
MLB
was just
Network.
kind of a pure hitter, a 300 hitter, and lefty, and really values kind of the, it's crazy to say, old fashioned way of thinking, where it's like you try to go get the guys that can hit for average instead of the guys that are gonna have a high OPS and a low average.
What I like that he said was he said you'd be crazy to not use analytics as a part of your preparation, performance
Sure.
plan, anything. But there's got to be a fine line. And I think that's where this whole Dylan Lawson thing went wrong because he wasn't a player, total analysis guy, complete analytics junkie. And you can't, pitching is one thing. Pitching is a more analytical side of the ball. Hitting, you have to have feel. You have to just kind of know the moment, know your approach. Each hitter needs to have a different approach based on their skill set, strengths, weaknesses, pitcher that's on the mound. And that doesn't show up in the numbers. And I think that is where things got lost in translation, where, like we were talking about earlier, everyone has their lowest average on batted balls in play pretty much of their career. And that's something that happens when everyone has the same approach of just swing early at strikes, regardless of any other variables.
Hit them
That
hard.
kind of you can't, yeah, you can't. Hit strikes hard can't be your thing.
It's like, yeah, of course. It's like, what am I going to swing soft?
No, so I think this last year has clearly shown that flawed philosophy, and I think there's a balance, and I think Sean Casey can bring that balance because he has feel. He was a hitter himself. He was an MLB analyst. Like, he knows the game. He knows how to reach players, and I think that's hopefully we find the happy medium because we've clearly struggled to do that over the last decade in the hitting department.
That's for sure. As you told me before the podcast, six different hitting coaches since what, 2007, when Kevin Long took the
Yeah,
reins.
well, because he got fired in 14, it was
Oh,
last
okay.
season, 14,
Six.
6. So it's clearly part just a scapegoat thing where, okay, they're not hitting. It can't be the organization's philosophy on hitting. It can't be the lineup we put together. It has to be the hitting coach, which that's just crazy. It's not like they completely don't know what they're doing, but it would be nice. I just want them to fire one person in the analytics department. Just to show, like, okay, we understand our analytics are not completely working. We get it. It could be the least important guy in the entire department. I don't care. I just want to see them fire one person.
I don't think we're ever gonna know that though. I don't even think teams announce that.
They should, because it's like, okay, we're just going to keep hiring a new hitting coach every 2 years and nothing changes. I mean, everything Sean Casey said has been fantastic,
Yeah, and it's
but
also a guy who understands and thinks the way that the game today is kind of played. It's kind of stupid. It really is stupid. When people were justifying Joey Gallo's kind of success, quote success, when he was hitting 210 and he was having a quote, remember, career year, and his OPS was 900. And this is, the guy that the Yankees need. This is the guy that the Yankees need. No, it's not the guy that the Yankees need. The Yankees need a guy who's going to come up to the plate, work a good at bat, and hit 300. And it's sad to see DJ LeMahieu, the guy that we thought that we had,
Yeah, we
fall
always
apart.
we felt like we lacked that second kind of contact hitter when we knew we already had DJ in place, and now DJ's
Now DJ's
gone. Volpe's
gone.
kind of coming into just being an all-around really good hitter, so it's
Sure.
kind of masking it a little bit.
Didn't re-sign Benintendi. Traded for Benintendi. Right idea, though. Lose Benintendi.
Yeah.
Don't re-sign Benintendi, who's, hitting 280 this year. The power's not there. It's not what I'm talking about, but I just think
Not the point.
Sean Casey values the old style of baseball, hitting with runners in scoring position, just hitting close to 300. Like, I don't know how many guys in this team are actually incapable of doing that. Like, if you told me Gleyber Torres has no shot at hitting 300, then I don't want to see him in a Yankee uniform ever again. Like, is he capable? I don't know. Probably not. But, I just think a lot of these guys focus on their power. A lot of these guys are power bats, but I think at the same time you have to have a balance. You have to have a balance of, just getting a base hit instead of just swinging for the double or swinging for the home run. I think Sean Casey's going to try to kind of make today's way of thinking look stupid, and he's going to try to like impose that amongst these guys and say, look, you guys got to the postseason the last 5, 6 years, like you weren't able to hit. Why? Because they weren't hitting. They weren't hitting with runners in scoring position. They would get the double in the sixth inning after not hitting the whole night and then strand him out there. Or they would knock him in and then wouldn't be able to score another. They need to implement a more of an approach, an old fashioned, all right, this is what we got to go up there and do. Instead of just like, all right, well, let's pull out the stat sheet and
Yeah, there
Look
needs to
at.
be a balance. There needs to be a balance. That's just the bottom line. We've been trying to keep up with today's analytics and just completely ditch any feel or any attitude, moxie, anything that the old Yankees had. It's just dissolved. But hopefully this is step one into kind of that resurgence. I think it
Yeah.
could be just off. I mean, Sean Casey said everything right, as I previously said. So nothing we can do now, but see how it works.
Well, his nickname was the mayor, so I guess we can say there's a new mayor in town. MLB draft, gotta say, I was coming into the draft, having, worked with the MLB draft league and kind of knowing more and more about the draft and, finding it more interesting. Like, the draft this year was not as interesting as I thought it was going to be. A lot of high school guys going early, which I expect. I now understand now. Guy that we drafted from high school, George Lombard Jr., shortstop, third base, 6'3", 190 pounds, kind of this.
We have a good track record with the Vanderbilt committed
Yeah,
shortstop, so
exactly. Anthony.
no fault again.
The 6'3", 190 pound statures become the new
The soccer
shortstop
player.
build. What?
The soccer player.
He's a soccer player. But I'm like, what I'm saying is like nowadays we're not seeing guys like, 5'9". I guess our shortstop is 5'9". But I just start, the new prototype of
Robot.
shortstops is 6'3", 190, the Carlos Correa body, not that he's playing well, but that body is one that can stay, at that position for a long time. Some of his best traits are the 55 power on the 80 scale, the 55 arm. A son of a former major leaguer. I think, there's some work to be done here. This is a guy that, baseball wasn't his main sport, actually. It was soccer. Great athlete. I think, maybe not necessarily a project. I also think you can't draft too many shortstops. I think that's a position
And
right now where there's just so many athletes. You can kind of play the
Yeah.
shortstop in center field or left field and figure it out. But I do like drafting the pro body and the athlete. You know, I would like to see how the tools kind of, you know, progress over
At
time.
that point in the draft, you can't really draft a college guy with the upside that this kid has
Yeah.
and expect to get him, kind of, if that makes sense. Like, it's easier to pay above slot value for a high schooler and get him to just see the seven figures and be like, okay, do I risk it and maybe get buried on the bench at Vanderbilt and then transfer and it doesn't work out and now I'm drafted in the ninth round, like the Arizona kid? Or do I take the guarantee and just forget about, not forget about school, obviously, but just like kind of get to work and see if the baseball thing is a reality? Because if a college guy gets drafted that low and he's really that talented, he'll just come back another year, try to boost his value. Just in general, it's all a game with the slot money. And I don't have a problem with them drafting high school. It clearly works to some degree, a lot
Yeah.
of teams. So yeah, I don't know. I still haven't fully figured out like the draft. It's a
Yeah.
lot of confusing things with players out of college hitting 450 and they fall. It just doesn't, I don't know. It's all projection. That's really what I'm trying to say. It's all projection.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you got a scouting department for it.
Yeah.
It's stuff
Maybe
that we don't
Sean
really know
Casey has
yet.
something to do with this Rock Riggio pick. This feels like an old school, old fashioned guy, just slap hitter lefty.
Yeah, 55 hit on the scale. Not really a great runner or fielder for that matter, but you know, has pop. He's 5'9", 180, left-handed middle infielder, things that we've been, you know, calling for. And you know, guy in the 2022 season as a freshman, he went 15 for 27 with 4 home runs, 5 doubles, 17 RBIs in 5 games. In the NCAA regional playoffs, which is absurd. A guy that's, you know, played in the Cape Cod, has struggled. They say, you know, it reminds him of Dustin Pedroia a little bit, you know, smaller
Plays into
stature.
the villain thing.
Right. Yeah.
He kind of made headlines last year for doing a lot of celebrations, like the Jack Sparrow run thing, mid home run. I don't know. I mean, he's a
Yep.
character. I think you can, I think he'll end up being fine speed wise, unless he's another Glaber where he's just the slowest person ever for no reason. And then the bat clearly seems to be there. And I don't know. I mean, I don't
Yeah.
mind the pick. He's performed both years in college, so you can't really go wrong.
And if he's a fine hitter and he tries to put the ball in the air and, you know, he's lefty, you know, sounds perfect for Yankee Stadium because, you know, we do have the short porch if you forgot. Because, you know, I feel like sometimes this team and the way that they've built their team over the years, they forget that, you know, I don't know, they have the shortest porch
Good
in
for pull hitting
baseball.
lefties, so let's have eight righties.
That's right. That's right. Sounds good, right? All on the hitting coach. So then we move on. We keep it going. We drafted a lot of pitchers. One that stands out, our eighth round pick, Nicholas Giudice, or Judas, 6'8", 185 pounds, from Louisiana Monroe, sits 91 to 95, but then reached 100 this spring. Big frame, number two pitch, mid 80 slider with horizontal and vertical action. It's a guy that, you know, did fall to the eighth round. There's a reason he fell to the eighth round. But I think right out the gate, this is a guy that you can already kind of key in as a relief pitcher. Considering he's 6'8", kind of has the Dellin Betances kind of build. Who knows? You know, there could be a way that he turns into a starter, but I just feel like the way that we kind of develop guys, a guy this size might just end up in the bullpen. So. Yeah.
We'll see when we see. We our pitching prospects tend to rise. We've seen guys like Drew Thorpe this year.
Yeah.
There's others where they just kind of appear, and I could see this easily being another guy that just appears in a couple of years.
For sure. And then lastly, you know, we drafted first baseman from Arizona, Kiko Romero, 5'11", 185 pounds, 22 years of age. He's a fourth year junior because he got the extra year of the COVID eligibility. And I Looked at his numbers, hit over 350 this year. You know, big power. No, not the biggest guy though. A 5'11 first baseman. You don't really hear a lot about those. So it's good to see that he kind of makes me a little more excited. A guy that's not as big, but can kind of have more control and understanding of the strike zone. More
big
of a pure hitter. Yeah. And like you talked about Trey Morgan, a guy that, you know, Tampa Bay drafted, but that was a guy that kind of was more of like a Matt Grace kind of guy at first base, more defense, but then also a lot more contact. And I like that considering from a lefty bat, you know, you can find power in other positions, but you want to piece together as many good hitters as you can get. So hopefully that's kind of what Kiko Romero turns into, more of an average guy, higher average, you know, 15, 20 homer pop. That would be superb. In terms of what we've heard from Aaron Judge, it's one of those things where, you know, we've seen articles where it's like Aaron Judge, you know, this toe is going to be bothering him for years. You know, he's never going to be, you know, fully healed until 3 years from now. It's so hard to speculate. It's Aaron Judge's body. We don't know how Aaron feels. We don't know how he's going to progress as he goes through his rehab. Yeah, just the
gonna do what he does. He's gonna do what he does every year. He's gonna get tired of it, and then he's gonna DH, and that's just what it's gonna be. Stan's been right a lot recently, and it's just very clear that that's kind of the direction we're moving.
And it puts more emphasis on maybe getting a left fielder. But you know, from a source, it's all speculation. But Brett Boone said, Aaron Boone's brother, as you may have guessed, Brett Boone said that he heard from a source that Judge could be back very soon. You know, post All-Star break. But he did not hear that from his brother, Aaron. So I don't know how much stock you're putting in that, but, you know, it might just be Brett Boone trying to hit a headline after winning the softball MVP at the All-Star game. Who knows? But Aaron Judge, obviously, this swings the season. If Judge isn't back with enough time to kind of not salvage the season, but, you know, put the Yankees in the right spot, then like Luke said earlier, you might think about getting a head start on next year and the future, and maybe trading some of these fringe guys like Glaber and Severino and guys that could go out and help other teams, but you're also bringing back some value as well. So, you know, we'll see. Once again, something that we can't really speculate, can't really talk too much about it because what do we know? So, yeah, let's cross our fingers and hope the big fella's back in the Bronx soon. So we talk about left field, and a guy that's name has naturally been brought up a ton, especially since he took Carlos Rodon, lefty lefty, into the second deck. A guy whose father played for the New York Yankees, Cody Bellinger, that's his name, said that the Yankees organization means a lot to his family. You know, Cody B is a guy that's struggled the last 3-4 seasons, whether it was injury, whether it was approach, who knows, but he has certainly figured it out this year. He's hitting close to 300. He's got 10 bombs. His OPS is well over 800. It's an encouraging thing. Not necessarily the guy, because I, from what I've seen the last 3 years, he's just kind of been all power and no contact. But this year, it's kind of changing. So, you know, if the Yankees go out and trade for him, and I would like that. But at the same time, if he kind of turns into kind of the player he was the last three seasons, it's going to be tough for me to like him. Because I think we need to go out and get a guy who's going to consistently hit 280 for us. And if we don't, well, then I don't think we have any shot at doing anything in the postseason.
And with it being in a contract year, I think it's a good kind of low risk, high reward, reasonable option that we talked about a bunch. And I kind of assumed that this was going to be one of the main options we had. And well, since the All-Star break, a lot of Ohtani and Soto stuff is kind of taking over Twitter, the radio, stuff like that. I'm trying to not believe it, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's the
you
only
really, because you really, until Moreno or whatever the Angels owners are, Moreno, I believe, until he comes out and is like, yeah, we're kind of listening to offers here, I don't know if he's going to be the guy that's going to go down trading Shohei Ohtani.
Well, if they have an ounce of a chance of making the playoffs, they're not going to trade him. But they're without Trout. Ohtani, you know, has the banged up nail, as we Gio's saw. Out. So Gio's out. their team. You know, they made a couple trades, brought Daniel Murphy to the party, Mike Moustakas, Eduardo Escobar. You know, they've tried to bring in reinforcements. You know, if the Angels have two bad weeks, and we can play into that because we play them three games on the road, you know, we can kind of add to that failure of whatever it is leading up to August 1st. If they come out flat, they're going to sell. They would be stupid not to sell, because if you look at their farm system, it's not one of the best in the game. It really isn't. I can't really name you their top guy. I don't frankly know their top guy. They could completely transform their farm system, bring back three to four guys that are desirable prospects for Shohei Ohtani, because yes, he's a rental. Yeah. But he's two players. He is. And you have to look at it that way. He's not just one, he's two. So they're going to demand a lot, especially if they're, you know, going to cave in and trade him. Now, if I'm the Yankees, I got to do everything in my power to try to hold on to one of Peraza or Dominguez. Now, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that. I think being able to hold on to one of them just for trade sake in the future, selling your entire minor league system, unless you are definite that this is the one move that you need to make. Like, I think personally, if Aaron Judge comes back, Stanton turns it around, Rizzo starts just hitting the ball over the wall, the Yankees can win the American League. They can. They just can't, because I'm not scared of the Texas Rangers. I'm not scared of the Tampa Bay Rays. But at the same time, the Yankees right now aren't too scary. So if some of the guys start turning it around and we were to trade for Ohtani, yeah, I think they could win the American League. I could. Are they going to beat the Braves? Probably not. But you got to get there.
Ohtani, Cole, Rodon.
Exactly. You know, we're coming on almost 15 years since not going to the World Series. You have to get there. You have to get there. I don't care what it takes. You got to get there. You got to see what it takes. You got to do what it takes. Because if you keep just getting eliminated in the playoffs.
Only got his yearly views or interactions or whatever by saying we were the most motivated, I think the phrase he used.
And he said it on a show like Get Up. It's not even like a baseball show. It's not like he came out and wrote an article about it. Like, you just kind of just dropped a bomb on a non-baseball.
It's also no secret, though. We've been interested in Ohtani.
Yeah, we tried to trade for him last year.
We tried to sign him originally. He wouldn't come to the East Coast. I vowed to forever hate him for that, and then he kind of became like the greatest player of all time. So now I'm kind of forced to not hate him. But,
yeah,
I mean, you know, it's not like we've never been linked to this guy before, so it wouldn't surprise me if Cashman was seeing what he could do. Because it's a great business move, too, and it's clear how that's one of his primary motives of the team is not necessarily win at all costs. It's a business venture for him. But this could be the best of both worlds, I would say.
Yeah, and something that we didn't write down.
Oh, yeah,
Mr. Advertisement. And I think, and real quick, and we'll get back to the next two trade deadline guys that have been looming, but Josie McFly made a good point. He said, you know, okay, you're screwing up the tradition. You're putting on the, you know, people are going to say that. Okay. He said he's fine with the advertisement being on the jersey, but if the Yankees continue to say why they can't go out and spend when they have this advertisement on the jersey that's supposedly going to rack in $25 million annually, you can't do that. You can't tell us that you can't spend when you, quote, sold out and put something on your jersey. Personally, I don't care. It was all bound to happen. Everything's bound to change. I'm just at the point in my life where I just expect everything to change. I watched this year's All-Star game and they have a red carpet bringing guys in from center field. They're not lining up.
I was going to say, yeah, this everything changes. Kind of segue to what I was saying. Like, you and I are now kind of at the age where our age demographic is going to be the biggest Yankee fans around. The guys who were around, like our dad's age, where they were around for the late 90s, early 2000s, they're like dads, husbands, wives, whatever. They have other jobs. Like, they're not completely locked in on the Yankees going every game, stuff like that. Now it's kind of us, and we really haven't seen what the Yankee fan base is kind of viewed as seeing. Like, we've seen one ring when we were like 6 years old, and it's been a very long time. And I think now I'm at the point, I think a lot of kids our age are at the point where the only tradition that I really want, like, need to continue from the past to now is like winning rings. Like, if it means the patch on the jersey, if they were like, all right, yeah, facial hair, whatever, but we're winning. Like, they could do anything, and if they're winning, it's fine. It really is. We
I
haven't,
don't, yeah.
we're
I
not
don't care.
spoiled fan base that we were once before. Like you said, it's been like 15 years since we've been to the World Series.
Yeah, and it's like when we got cheated out of a World Series appearance, a few years back, like now I'm just like whatever it takes. I'm not condoning cheating. I don't want them to cheat. I don't play the game like that. I would much rather win a genuine World Series, although they got a slap on the wrist. I need to get back to the World Series because I haven't experienced the loss yet. I haven't, and neither have you, and neither have anybody in our demographic. They've never experienced the World Series loss. We're all born in
Or
2002,
win.
2003. They lost in
Barely
2003.
win.
Were we alive for that? No. Were we watching the 2004 collapse? No. We haven't seen a collapse. We haven't seen the World Series loss. We need it. We need it just as fans. I'm sorry, if the Yankees go out to the World Series this year and get swept in four games to the Atlanta Braves, am I going to be kicking my sofa because they lost? No. No.
They don't make the moves necessary and just kind of fall into it. It won't be any different to me than these past years. But if they do everything they can, get to the World Series and lose, this is like the
Good for
conversation
you.
we had earlier, where I get so infuriated that we didn't sign a shortstop or a third baseman and just relied on Volpe. It's not even that I'm looking back and all the guys we could have signed are doing great. Just the fact that it doesn't feel like we tried. If we do all the moves and we get to the World Series and don't win, obviously I'm going to be crushed. I don't think a World Series loss will kind of like change my life or whatever. But if they try, that's
Yeah.
all you can ask
And
of.
if you get to the World Series, it proves that they tried. And
That's, yeah.
that's all I want to see. Like I mean, you kind of just explained my feeling is like I need to get to the World Series. I don't care what happens. Like I do care what happens, obviously. And I'm gonna be bummed if they go to the World Series and lose. Like, yeah, of course. But I just need to see it. I need to be in the moment. I need to see Aaron Judge in the moment. We need to see our captain, the guy that we just threw 40 million a year, the guy who broke the single season home run record, need to see him in the World Series because I think we've got guys that can take over an entire series and
That's
I
yeah, that's more what I mean. It's like they need the opportunity. Like, we've been building up so long, the window, this whole window that's now feels like it's closing very fast. It's just, I trust our players. Not that's not even true. I don't even know. I really don't. It's
Just get there. Just
we just haven't
try.
seen. We've never seen these guys in the World Series. There's no way to say we just need to do whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Because then we'll know. Then we'll know who can shine in the big moments. We don't know.
I
We
already
know
kind of.
Aaron Judge can get to the postseason and hit three home runs and then not hit his hat. But I'd like to think that if he got to the World Series, he would do something different. Who knows? Moving on. If we're going to talk about trying to get to the World Series, I think Juan Soto is a guy that you need to throw his name around. Maybe you're not going to get Blake Snell in the deal as well, but Juan Soto, already a perennial all-star, left-handed hitter, maybe one of the best pure all-around hitters that we've seen, a guy that understands the strike zone at all costs. He is Mr. Discipline. He has 15 home runs this year. He's at an 898 OPS, 24 years old. Juan Soto's the man. Now he's got a year left on his contract on top of the rest of the season. That obviously kicks in the value, but I do think that if the Yankees were to go out and trade them Peraza, Wells, anything that they want, Dominguez, like, yeah, if you go out and trade Peraza, Dominguez, Wells, you probably get Juan Soto back. You probably do, especially with the extra year left. I think that gets the deal done. I wouldn't be thrilled to give up all that, but at the same time, I understand they're trying, and this is Juan Soto. And to see him in pinstripes would be more excited than I've ever been to see somebody in as a Yankee.
We could give up any prospect.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
This is what I'm saying. Like, yeah, we have this window, but we have all these prospects. If it's like, okay, we can get Juan Soto, you give up the prospects. That's just what you do.
Do you like that? Know, you're sitting next to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. It just went away. Never mind.
Oh, last chance. I just don't see them trading him. I don't know.
Yeah.
They can't. I mean, they just traded for
him. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I would do. He would make the most sense.
Yeah.
He really would. Because Ohtani.
He's got the extra year left and it's affordable.
Which,
and
like, obviously, kind of show you the future. You don't know if Ohtani's even going to want to stay on the East Coast. Obviously, he's prioritized winning in his interviews. So hopefully.
I really think what it boils down to is if the Padres show some life the next 2 weeks, they're not going to move him. But if the Padres come out and look abysmal and.
Yeah, they have to look really bad for there to be like a real.
Yeah. So I think that's what you got to, if you're a Yankee fan, you got to root for the Padres to lose because
it just doesn't feel like you don't just package up a Juan Soto trade in like 3 days. It felt like the Juan Soto era was ending for a while in Washington. And so it was kind of like not the biggest surprise. But with this, like, I really don't know. I mean, the trade deadline's chaos every year. So you never, no one ever really fully knows. So.
Yeah. And when a guy's traded once doesn't mean, you know, he could just be traded again. I mean, the way that they're teased the one guy on their team of their group that isn't really under contract for more than 2 years, you know, everyone, even Cronenworth, even Ha-Sung Kim, Machado, Tatis, all these guys are under contract except for him. I don't know if they have the money, especially with losing their TV deal. I don't think they have the money to go out and re-sign him. But at the same time, yeah, you could say, oh, well, they're going to try to win next year. Is their roster going to get better? Are they going to go out in the offseason and spend? Because right now,
they're like us where their players just aren't playing good.
I mean, but Machado's has been hurt. Tatis has had a good season.
Yeah,
Tatis has had a mediocre season, but it could change. I don't think that they have the team, though. I mean, even their closer, Josh Hader, a 108 ERA. They've gotten everything from their pitchers. They really have. The offense hasn't stood up. So I think, honestly, I don't know how much better this Padres team's getting from this year until next year. I don't know if they're going to go out and spend the money considering they're losing so much from their TV revenue. I just don't really see.
I also don't think they have prospects left to like buy with.
That's right. So they might try to refurbish their prospects
they have the Salas kid, but he's like really young.
He's 16, 17. Like,
yeah.
If the Yankees were to give him Peraza, Dominguez, Wells, there's three guys in your farm system, two guys that will probably be on the team very soon.
It'd be great if Dominguez wasn't hitting 200 right now. It'd be fantastic. It'd help a lot.
I just think, you know, with how thin their farm system is to how, you know, their team's getting older, I think there is a chance that the Padres do trade Juan Soto if they're out of contention, because I don't really see a point in having him for next season if their team just all around is not great.
I could see their owner just being like, all right, I made this bed. Like, I can't just quit. Because
it's fair.
They trade him, they're done. I mean, realistically, like, they're all getting old except for Tatis. Probably have another run. It just went to the NLCS.
Like, they're not going to re-sign him. That's the thing. It's like, well, what's one more year?
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Owners are rich. But he's paying everybody.
So. Yeah, they are paying everybody. Now, Nolan Arenado is the final guy we'll talk about on this episode. And it's one of those things where it's like, well, he's an older player, but I think you've got the Stanton, you have the Judge, you have the Rizzo, you have the Cole. These are guys that are, you know, on the back end of their prime or close to just not being capable anymore with Rizzo. I don't know. But if you bring in a guy like Arenado, you know, now with looking at how the Cardinals are paying him, I don't think a lot of people are considering that. He's not making nearly as much as what the number says on his Spotrac page, or he's not making the 35. He's making
He is. They're
less than
just not
that.
paying. That's the difference.
Right. Exactly. And that's all we can be concerned with. Yeah, it'd be awesome if the Yankees can go to the Rockies and be like, hey, like, we'll eat that, we'll eat this. Like, I don't know if that's possible, but I think, you know, it's gonna cost more than I think we're gonna want, especially if Juan Soto deal's on the table. Sure, it'd be a great consolation prize, especially if you pair him up with Bellinger, but who knows if the Cardinals are gonna trade him.
Yeah, I'm just, they have to try. I don't even need to, like, obviously, getting back to our World Series rant, it really just comes down to them giving their 100% full effort on both sides of the ball, which is, feels like the pitching's kind of rounded out as much as it can be. And it's just, you got to go all in. Even if they lose, you just gotta go. You gotta try because we haven't made the World Series once in a whole window, and you hit jackpot on this draft pick, Aaron Judge, and it hasn't. You're gonna waste it. Like, I don't.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, how many more years is this guy gonna be Mr. Baseball? Like, he's hurt right now, so you know you got to get him back, and then you got to figure it out. You gotta try your best without him the next couple weeks, I would assume, and go 10-14, go 7-4, go however it shakes out, go win a majority of your games, put yourself in a better spot because right now you're 8 back. The wild card's not out of the way. We've talked about how the seeding can be, you know, more favorable if you finish sixth than
He
fourth,
could,
you know.
but AL's wide open. That's the other thing.
It
It's
is.
not like there's a team that's just a world-beating
The
team.
Astros aren't the world beater that they used to be. Now, do I think that the Astros are probably going to be in the World Series again? Yeah, I do. If I had to put money on it, I'm putting money on the Astros to be back in the World Series this year because how could you not? There isn't a team in the American League that has that, you
Pedigree.
know,
Just
resume,
experience.
pedigree, all of that. They have it. Even when their guys aren't playing well, like the Bregmans, they'll step up when they need to. So you
They've
still
like
have to get past
pennants
them.
recently. Like they're the AL champs until they're not. Just what it is.
Blue Jays playing better baseball. Blue Jays passed us in the standings. You know, who knows? You know, a lot of games will be played against that team. You know, Baltimore still up there. Who knows what they're gonna do? I can't imagine they're gonna, you know, I think they're gonna probably try to bring in as many rentals as they can at the deadline because
They're
that
gonna
would
try
make
to get
sense.
Bieber. I could see them getting Bieber.
Bieber, Giolito, guys that are on expiring deals because they're not gonna pay anyone. So I saw Giolito rumored to the Dodgers today.
I could see them paying some pitching because they have all the bats coming up.
Well, they just don't pay anybody.
Now they have to. Now they're trying to win, though. Like
That's
the tank
fair.
is complete, I feel like. I feel like Jackson Holliday was kind of the last piece of their
Yeah.
tank.
Plus, they have just more.
They have a sick thing going over there, so.
Yeah. It's pretty scary considering, you know, all they're pitching away from being actually legitimate. So, you know, there is that window again. You just got to try. You got to try to be on top as long as you can. And, you know, right now we aren't, but you got to do all you can to get up there. So I don't really know how much there is to say. The Yankees are kind of in a weird spot right now. We don't know what they're going to be in 2 weeks. We'll see where Aaron Judge sits. If he comes back soon, great. If he doesn't, then you can't really bank on the Yankees doing too much at the trade deadline. It's not. It's that's just not a thing.
They just gotta keep the record where if he was to come back like August 1st,
Got to be in a good spot.
build a team. I don't know.
Just try.
Just try.
We'll be jumping on the podcast soon as you know, the next 10, 15 days go by because, you know, trade deadline time comes up. This is one of the more exciting times of the year. We just need more clarity on Judge, but we'll keep you guys updated on when we'll be back. And yeah, let's go Yankees, and let's hope they can break out of this funk going into the second half. Thanks for watching. Peace.